I don't want to brag, but my red button has been hit.
Ooh.
My red button is blinking.
My red button won't come up. What's the matter?
You got no red button?
No, my red button is just totally down.
Have you tried Viagra?
Listen,
oh,
it happens.
That was some low hanging fruit. Double entendre intended.
Yeah, Dave, that's pretty sad. I said, ignoring that I was about to go to the same place.
Nah, but seriously, it's totally redding up, dudes. We're all in the red zone.
We're all redding it.
We're all blinking it up.
Well, thanks for doing this on short notice, guys. I literally did not know 20 minutes ago that I'd be here. So this is really, I'm really happy this is working out.
You didn't put your job at jeopardy, did you?
No. Literally, the lady who is the only person that can send plates to the press left. I went to the sports department, says, we going to do a lift or not? They said, we don't know. She came back. By that time, they decided no, and then she left again. So I came back. I said, well, if she's gone, I'm gone. And they said, yeah, go ahead. So out I went.
Nice.
Guys, yeah. Literally.
What? Are you doing David
Cross? We just got into a big discussion about how we all of us are overusing that word literally.
Oh.
I mean,
well,
overusing.
I literally... Oh, God.
Wow. Anyway.
everybody ran to get that one.
Anyway, webcomics.
Anyways, webcomics.
So tonight.
So let's start. What are we doing? Webcomics Weekly. Right?
Central,
oh, my God. A lot of dead weight on the podcast.
You know what? I think we're all just exhausted, and we're all a little beaten up mentally and emotionally.
Am I the only one who went through a little bit of post-con depression? We just got
no.
back. And we just, really? We just got
no,
back
no, Brad, we all...
from San Diego Comic-Con. We've been talking about it for a while, and I think today we're just going to do a little wrap-up and kind of talk about the week that was. But just to kick it off, I had a little post-con depression.
A little. I had major post-con depression.
I took the gun out of my mouth to do this podcast.
I made a small macrame Brad Geiger that I've just been hugging all week. I gotta tell you, my macrame Brad Geiger, the laughter not as sweet.
I'm a little shaken by the gun comment, but.
No, it's right by the desk, buddy. It's fine. Don't worry. That is not going to rise for another 40 minutes.
But yeah, totally. I mean, I don't think I've had a San Diego as intense as this one.
Do you remember, Scott, we were talking about how, like, by the second night, so much had already happened.
It was by Wednesday night. Or was it Thursday night?
It might have been Wednesday.
It was Wednesday
night.
Yeah, it was Wednesday night, right?
Yeah. Well,
like,
so much happened
in
3 hours.
I remember, Chris, you at one point said, like, so much has already happened that by the end of the week, 6 people will be dead and 1 person will be pregnant.
Like, it just seemed like
capable of being pregnant.
But yeah, by the rules of drama, it just had to keep building. And the bar had been set so high, the very first night, anything could have happened.
And now as I'm going back and kind of reliving some of it, I'm noticing in my brain that 90% of it we can't talk about on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I didn't want to go through what actually did happen Wednesday, but yeah,
I do. I will reveal one thing. I almost, on the first day, the first night, preview night, got into an altercation, a physical altercation with a comics professional. And
oh my God, that's right.
Nothing made me feel more awful than turning to Dave Kellett after that went down and seeing the look on his face of, it was just a look, but the look said, what is it with you?
Well, you know what it was, Scott? Like, I, not having heard the story yet, like, for people who hadn't seen it, like, it literally almost became a knockdown dragout, and I had literally arrived 5 minutes earlier. You know, like, I've driven down, I've done all this sweaty lifting, I've finally gotten the building, I say hi to Scott, Scott gets into a knockdown dragout immediately, and I was like, "What? We've been here 5 minutes. What happened?"
But you, Dave, you witnessed it, right? Brad, did you witness it too?
Oh yeah, and it was not at all. It was not. Yeah, it was not at all your fault, as I came to find out. But it literally was like, "What, man? We've been here 6 seconds. How did you already get into a fight?"
I was standing right there, and it was so bizarre that at first I thought he was kidding, and I was going to join in. I had my mouth open, a breath take, and I was going to start going. I thought he was like riffing or vamping, and I was going to join in because I was all excited to be here and everything. And
yeah, this person's not here to defend themselves, so we won't name the person. But
now we won't go into any detail.
No, well, I just want to say it was just so odd because it was myself, Brad, Dave, and a friend of ours, Jim Zubkovich, who does cartooning called The Makeshift Miracle, and he works for Udon. And we're all just standing in a crowd, just schmaltzing, just talking. And this comic professional walks by, heading somewhere, and we caught our eyes crossed, and I said hi to them, they said hi to me, and they continued on past, and the four of us continued talking. Next thing I know, this comics professional has stopped, turned around, come back, and is in my face, and points at me and says, "By the way, when you email someone and they email you back, have the courtesy to email them back. That's twice you've snubbed me, and you owe me two apologies."
Now, could you understand when I hear that I think that they're goofing around? When you email someone and they email, and I was about to say, yeah, and if they email you back and you email them back and you email them back, then they email you back, you better email them back. I mean, I honestly God thought he was kidding around.
So what if I send them a teletype? What about telex? What about SMS?
So did I, to be perfectly honest, until the finger started poking me in the chest. And it's very odd because in the 37 years I've been alive, if I count the number of times I've been in a fist fight, the number tops out at, let's see, elementary school, junior high, high school. Zero. Zero times. And I can't even say that I got beat up ever as a kid. It's not like I had, I mean, bullies picked on me verbally, but I don't think anyone's ever thrown a punch at me so much. So to actually be poked in the chest was such a strange sensation.
Is it a thrill?
Yes, because, and I hate
you're
to
like, it's happening. It's finally happening.
Right. I have to admit, Dave, I have to admit, as much as I'm an adult, I have to admit I went, "Oh, sweet. There's going to be a fight, and I think I can take him." I mean, I've got at least 3 feet on this person, and I've got like at least a 200-pound weight advantage. I think I can win this.
Can I tell
you're rolling up your sleeves.
Can I tell you what my thought was, though? I was talking to Jim Subkovich from about 10 feet away, and I look over, and my thought as you guys are getting into this is like, who is this idiot? Because it was like, to make a bad Super Punch-Out reference, it was like Glass Joe going up against Bald Bull. I mean, it was like, this guy is tiny. There's no way he should be fighting with Scott. I mean, not a small being. And this dude had about 60 pounds on him.
Anyway. Yeah, and then he said something insulting and then walked off. Like, he, like, stormed off.
Did he say harumph and did his monocle quiver?
If I can't remember exactly what he said, Chris, but it amounted to a harumph. And, like, chin up, like, nose in the air, walk off.
But in the end, you went over and made peace and everything's okay now, right?
Never saw this person again. Never saw him again. Did look for this person. Did talk to other...
Brad, to Scott's credit, though, it's hard to find Stan Lee on the floor once he walked away.
The guy was surrounded by a lot of bodyguards the whole time.
By people who wanted to be a superhero. Yeah.
I was trying to bring that home with a nice little bow.
You know what, though? I have to say, it's funny to me that your mind in the middle of or at the start of the conversation, out of what to me was one of the most pleasant weekends that I've ever had, immediately flashback to the 10 seconds of violence for the whole weekend. You're like, I got to talk about this.
Because the reason why it came to mind was because that first evening, and that is just one of the things that happened the first day we were there.
That wasn't even the That was it. Yeah, that was like one thing of like five.
Yeah, of that day. And so that's why Chris was like, someone's going to die. Someone will die this trip.
I don't even, yeah, where was it going to go? That's not how stories work. It's not going to just peter out.
Do you do this, Chris? Do you find yourself applying movie logic to your life? Like,
oh, yeah,
you're
like this
man,
the
weekend's been
time.
Awesome. This is when we find out the dad has a heart attack and everybody goes to the hospital. I better
right.
call my dad.
Like, I had a great night, and now I've got to walk to my car in this dark alley. This is when I get mugged.
This is when it happens.
This is when I get shot. Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh, she's starting to take her clothes off. This is where they roll the end credits. Maybe
what?
That's just my movie.
You just put your hat on and leave.
So let's try to recap this con.
Oh my God! You know what? I'm gonna open up my blog post because I need some cliff notes for this.
Well, let's start on Wednesday. Wednesday was preview night.
And
preview
Scott has posted. You had a lot of trouble getting your booth up. Is that right?
Well, no, I'll be really honest with you. The booth went up within about an hour, but it is such a convoluted process to put this booth up. We had the booth last year, but it was put up by the guys at Blind Ferret. They got there on Tuesday. We didn't arrive till Wednesday, and we had both ordered the booth from the same manufacturers last year, and so they finished theirs and just decided to put ours up. So this year was the first year that Angie and myself and Ashley decided to try to put the booth up on our own. And there are really no instructions, and every little piece of that truss is held together by connecting these little plastic dividers in between each piece and then screwing screws on the side tight against the dividers. And we found out the reason why I was so frustrated is because it took an hour and a half to put up. And then we found out that the year after we bought them, they came out with a new system where they just click together. There's just a click, clack, click, 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 clack. So, anyway.
Well, anyway, and then that was Comic-Con, so big stuff happened. And
it's a beautiful booth. We love it. It's just very, it's one of these things where we bought it the year before gas prices went bat crazy. And so now, shipping that booth to San Diego is three times as much as it was when we bought it. And then
well,
also,
I was talking to Angie about that because I'm curious from a creator standpoint why you don't just sell it now and just chalk the loss on that.
Well, I mean, it's not so much that we couldn't actually. We had an offer to buy it based off my video. Not only did I get an offer from another exhibitor to buy the existing booth, because you can put any graphics up, but I got an email from someone who works for a display company who said he would set me up with something that was more manageable. So we'll see.
Yeah, because I'll be honest, from a creator to a creator standpoint, I mean, that the cost involved with that booth, it is beautiful, but like, you know how we were talking before the show about controlling costs? I think there's no reason why you need something that big and heavy and cumbersome at a show.
No, I mean, I don't mind saying it. It costs us $400 to ship it to the con.
Mm. And how much to ship back home?
I would assume $400.
And how much to have the union guys bring it out on the floor?
I don't want to talk about that because I told my wife not to ship it to the warehouse ahead of time and to ship it within that three-day window, and she didn't listen to me. And that was a fight for the entire plane ride home, and how dare you bring that up, David Kellett.
Oh, jeez. You know what? Genuinely, I didn't know that was a... No, but my point is, like, you know...
point made, Dave. Point made. We get it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I genuinely didn't know that was a question to you. Oh, man.
Talk fast, Kelly.
The pizza at the convention, I thought was...
but, Dave, one of the reasons why we did it this year is because when Roadway picks it up, they charge you just for the pallet. Right? And we stuffed the case that has the booth in it. If you take out all the extra padding they put in there to keep all the pieces from bouncing around, and you replace that padding with plushes and t-shirts and books, you get all your product shipped to and from the con, all your extra product, within the price of just shipping the booth.
Yeah. That's pretty smart.
Oh, well, that's smart. All right.
So that's how we compensated for it, but still, it would have been cheaper just to ship the product. And one of the great things about being with Image that you guys got to experience this year is that since they bring so much books with them, Diamond brings the books with them on their truck free of charge for Image. I think it's free of charge. So all of our How to Make Webcomic books got to the show for an incredibly cheap amount of shipping price. The price is astronomically low. So my books are always pretty cheap to get to the show for me. The problem is shipping them back. But this year we did really good. You know, I sold out of book 5, sold out of book 1, and almost sold out of the Dork Ages. So we picked just the right amount of book product this year.
That's good.
But yeah.
And that is sort of the magical dance for every show is how much do I bring? And we all know that feeling. Of like,
God,
oh,
that
God.
I can't. I tell you what, guys, I've been coming to Comic-Con since 2001, and I never get it right. Never. Never once have I gotten it 100% right.
Well, you know what? You know what I've started doing? And it's fantastic, the last 5 shows. I can forecast now, based on the size of the attendance from previous years for a show, how much to bring now, and it works pretty good. Like, I've started really detailed tracking my sales from the last, like, 5 or 6 conventions and exhibitions that I've been to. So now, like, for Baltimore, I can say, all right, well, Emerald City was X big of a show, and it goes for 2 days, and Baltimore is a 3-day show and is X, you know, number of people. And I can sort of extrapolate out how many books to bring. And so far, it's been working pretty good.
Yeah.
But for years, I was like, oh, God, I don't know. Do I bring 10? Do I bring 10,000? I have no idea how many books to bring. And it's terrifying and every time.
And really, you never really want to sell out. Really, what you want to do is have one left over, because that meant that everybody that wanted one got one. If you sell out, that means, because I know it took me a long time to get through that through my head, that, oh, great, I sold out. Well, and then my wife would say, well, that means you didn't bring enough books.
Yeah, no, it's bad. Yeah, well, it depends when you sell out, Brad. If you sell out on Sunday, that's pretty good. But when you sell out on Friday, that's not great.
Yeah, I've had Baltimore where I did that, where I was selling out like Saturday afternoon, and it's like, well, hey, the good news is I sold out. The bad news is, what am I going to do Sunday?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Baltimore is going to be kind of a trial by fire for me, because San Diego is easy because my parents live in Los Angeles, so I can just have stuff there and then take down whatever I decide. Baltimore is going to be in late September is going to be the first time where I actually have to estimate and ship the amount I think I'm going to sell.
Right, right.
But I don't think that's going to be hard, Chris, because you know what you sold last year.
That's true. That's true.
You know what you can also do, Chris, and honest to God, this works. Take your 4-day or 4.5-day showing at San Diego and just divide it by 2. If Baltimore is a 2-day show or 2.5-day show or whatever it's going to be, it's not the worst math in the world to do that.
They are similar audiences too.
I would say whatever you brought to Emerald City is what you should bring to Baltimore.
Yeah,
they're very similarly sized shows. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do, because there's a good chance I'm going to have the Awesomeology at Baltimore. So I don't know if I need to bring all books when I have that big hardcover there. You know. But we'll see. I may need to bring a bunch of books. One book we're definitely going to bring to Baltimore and sell a crapload of is How to Make Webcomics, man. That book never stops selling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was probably the nicest thing of the convention for me, was how many people just came up and thanked us for writing that book.
I know, right? Like I would get, and I heard it from you guys too, I would get kind words for Sheldon, and you guys would get kind words from Starslip, and I was telling my wife about this. It's like, oh, you know, you brighten my day, oh, thanks, you make work or school or whatever, you know, nicer. But the people that came up and thanked us for How to Make Webcomics, it was like, it was a totally different kind of thank you, you know?
Yeah, yeah, or the podcast, to be honest.
Yeah.
I got a lot of that, too.
Oh, my God. Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the talks that we gave at San Diego were the first time in my life that I've ever had this happen. This has never happened just with Sheldon, where people were waiting in line for hours before the talk, and some didn't even get in. I mean, that's amazing to me, just based on the power of that book.
They were lined up outside the – well, we'll get to the panel discussion, because I think that's a whole nother discussion. But, yeah, they were lined right up. And I counted seats, and I still remember it was 12 times 9 times 2.
Yeah.
Which is about somewhere under 220 seats, 214 or so.
The reason why people were turned away this year is because this is the first year they wouldn't let people stand in the back because of the fire marshals.
Yeah. But that's pretty good.
Yeah,
fire marshal. Come on.
We got so scared during that second panel when we were like, oh, no, nobody's here.
Is anybody going to show up?
And then the lady's like, oh, no, that's your line there. And we're like, yeah, we know. And she's like, no, it goes around the corner. It goes all the way around. And we're like, oh, it does? Okay.
I know.
pointed out those guys at the front, and she said, those guys have been sitting there for 2 hours. They left the first panel, ran to the second room, and got in line and waited for 2 hours to get to the next panel.
We need to get a hold of those guys and ask them, was it worth it? Did you like it?
Yeah, can I say something and risk sounding kind of mean to those guys? That was kind of dumb. Right? Like,
there's a lot of good stuff on the floor.
There's a lot of stuff they could have done in those 2 hours.
Did you get that shiny Iron Man, the Mighty Mugs they were selling on the floor?
Not really. I'm not really sure we said anything in the second panel that we didn't say in the first. Like,
so, sorry, guys, but.
We covered some different topics. I think we did a pretty good job of covering different things. I mean, there was a certain amount of overlap, obviously, but I think we did a pretty good
look.
We gave them enough for their buck. We went, 45 minutes over that second one?
Yeah, they wouldn't let us leave.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was the longest panel I've ever done.
I had to take a bathroom break during the panel. That's never happened to me before.
That is true.
During which Scott and I got into a fight.
We didn't get into a fight.
I know. Can I tell you, I was talking to my wife afterwards. She's like, man, when you went to the bathroom, those two turned sour on each other.
What happened was Brad said something ridiculously stupid.
Oh, no.
And I could not in good conscience let him give such horrible advice to a woman who then stood up and left in all of her pregnancy.
What was the? Oh man, I don't want to dredge it up. What was it again?
Planes. No, I've got to set the record straight. I gave some very, very helpful and well-meaning advice, and then Scott came in and said something mean, hateful, and rude.
Wow.
Nice.
Said it, setting it straight.
The question was, at what point do you give up on your webcomic? When is enough enough? Where you don't have enough readers? And I made the point, and I really believe this. The worst case scenario is you're 5-10 years down the road and you realize that you're the only one that really got significant enjoyment out of your webcomic. Is that such a terrible thing?
And that's when my monocle popped clear off my face. And right...
Well, gosh, Brad, when you frame it like that, I mean, I kind of feel like,
is that such a bad thing? I mean,
that's a horrible thing.
Well, Brad, I will say that would be the one place I could find solace, but I don't know if that's enough.
Brad, listen, what's so bad about continuing on aimlessly for 10 years and accomplishing nothing?
It's not aimlessly. Listen, there's a middle ground between you two. No,
there is a middle ground.
But you've got enjoyment out of it. You got self satisfaction out of it. That's not a horrible thing.
No, yeah, this is true. This is true.
It wasn't meant to happen for you. So you didn't build the next Garfield mega empire, but you got a lot of self satisfaction and enjoyment out of it, and that's not a bad thing.
It's true, but I would say that the goal would be to not spend 10 years on that. Maybe spend 3 years on that.
What happened next?
What did you say, Scott? Go ahead, tell them what you said.
I said that... Well, don't start laughing before I say it.
Okay,
you're prejudging
here. Scott, this better be funny. I better like this.
I said that it was very important that a lot of people out there realize... that they suck, and what they're doing sucks and is not working, and I don't care how many more years of diligent production you throw at it, it's already had its opportunity and failed to impress a large crowd, and it's time to stop, reevaluate, back up, and maybe try something new. That doesn't mean you have to stop production on this thing. But it means that if you're looking to make progress in the in the a category of not sucking. No. That if you're looking to make progress as far as making a living and bringing in more readers, it might be time to try something new, to start over.
Let me try and put a less verbose, less halting spin on what you just said, Scott. There's an element of doing webcomics or anything, I would imagine, but where you have to have an element of being self-critical. You have to be able to see it the way that an outsider would see it.
I'm pretty sure that I did say that too. If Dave's Brad's gonna be fair, I did say that too.
Okay. I think.
Eventually, I got around to the self-critical.
Somewhere after suck and hang it up already, loser, there was self-critical.
Well, and here's an example I did not give at the show, okay? But let me give you a practical example of it, okay? It happens to pretty much every cartoonist at every property. A good example is Jeff Smith with the comic book Bone. When Bone first came out early 90s, it was setting sales records. I mean, it went crazy. But Bone was almost a 10-year arc of, you know, story. And at some point along the way, after coming in, leaving Image and stuff, it plateaued to where there weren't new readers coming on. Pretty much everybody knew what it was, had checked it out. People that liked it, liked it. The people that didn't moved on. And Bone survived on its core readership that would only now, from here on out, will only fluctuate up and down by very small increments. And that's not... that's just a reality of the market and the way that the market works. So that also happens in webcomics. And I think a good example of that in webcomics might be Superosity with Chris Crosby. Now, Superosity has had, I think, its peak, and it's sitting at its core readership now, and that isn't maybe what Chris Crosby wants it to be. But rather than just quit it and give up or just say, I'm never going to try anything new, he created Sore Thumbs. Which is a complete departure from Superosity, and he experiences an incredible readership with Sore Thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't give up Superosity. He didn't give up his relationship with those characters or his love for that strip, but he did decide that he wasn't making the progress he wanted with it, and it was time to try something new. And that's what I was trying to get across.
And it's instructive to talk about too that Chris did Superosity for years
daily
basis without missing. I mean, he's one of the Iron Men. He did Superosity for years before he started Sore Thumbs. And it's something we come back to as a web cartoonist. Really, we would suggest you really work on hammering out one comic strip and learn how to be a comic strip artist or whether it's a single panel or a comic book. Really learn to do that thing daily well for a couple years before you try to add on a second project. But in Chris's case, he was more than ready for it, and it worked out beautifully for him.
I think with Chris's stuff, I think a lot of it had to do with timing too, because, you know, Superosity kind of peaked right before webcomics really took off.
Yeah.
And I think if Superosity had debuted a little bit later, maybe 3 to 5 years later, that it might have taken a different path. But that has nothing to do with the amount of work you put into it or the quality of the work, is the point I'm trying to get across. Sometimes it is simply just saturation and in the marketplace, and I see it happening with PvP. We're discussing it at Image because we're having to do new things to sell the comic book. Because the people that were my comic book only audience have discovered the strip online and have converted to the web. Now they read PvP on the web. They don't read it by buying the comics. So sales of the individual monthly issues have dropped, where sales of the trades have increased. Because we're seeing a conversion of that marketplace. Mm-hmm. So that's the point I was trying to make. But when I said, no, that Brad is wrong, some of you need to stop what you're doing because what you're doing is awful and is not working, and it's time to rethink it. I looked over at Brad, and he looked like someone had just stuck a turd right under his nose. Thought he was going to – he just went, that's not good.
That's not good butter.
That's not good butter.
I love that in the 5 minutes that I was gone, you guys immediately start fighting, and then you like cut to me, and I'm like.
You're like, yeah. On a panel, feeling good.
Because you come back and you're like, awesome, what are we talking about? Hey.
I walk back and you guys are like throwing shoes at each other. What's going on? I leave for 2 seconds.
And then you just turn around again. Train wreck.
But you know what? I gotta tell you something interesting, because my wife, who had not previously listened to the podcast and who came down for the show on Friday with a couple of our friends in LA, and they all sat in on the talks, and they had an interesting comment about the talks, because I think you guys had this happen with a couple of people too. Chris or Brad and I had a couple professors come up to us, and then a couple other comics professionals come up to us and say, like, in the many years that I've been at San Diego, I've never been to a better talk, which I took as a genuine compliment, and I was really impressed by that.
Yeah, but I got a lot of slow claps. Just walking down the hallways.
But my wife came up afterward and made an interesting observation about the way we interact with each other, the four of us, which is that we all have sort of adopted these roles in what we do, and yet we all sort of give each other the floor in a very friendly way. You know what I mean? And let each other either hang ourselves or make a good point. You know what I mean? There's a friendship behind it, which my wife picked up on, which I thought that was interesting. You know, as far as panels and why it worked better than others, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people came up to me and said, "You guys really are friends, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah. I mean, we really, it's not just a put on. You know, we really do enjoy each other's company."
Why would we fake that? That would seem more difficult if we had to fake it. But all right, I hate these guys, but we're all experts, so I guess let's do this.
I guess let's do this.
I have something to tell you guys.
Yes.
I am from the future, and I set all this up. We're not really friends.
Oh.
Okay.
It's all technology induced.
Oh well.
Off he goes. Nice.
Hey, and how about, you know, not to skip over that first panel, how cool is Phil Folio?
Pretty awesome.
He's pretty awesome. Guy.
I mean, he really did a good job moderating the panel, and he made all of us. There was one thing that we're all pretty much webcomics guys. We all come at this from pretty much the same direction, except his approach to retail, I think, really had all of us thinking.
That's so funny that you bring that up, Brad, because I was going to bring that up tonight.
Yeah, well, what is that approach? You were. His approach to retail is that whereas we all encourage people to buy from our website whenever possible, because obviously we make more money, Phil's approach is support your retailer. He says he doesn't want people to buy it off of his website. He sends them to the store to buy it or to Amazon to buy it. And in return, says Phil, the retailers support him. He gets good placement in the stores. He gets the Girl Genius books up by the cash register. The retailers support him because he's supporting the retailers.
Yeah, that's what completely shocked us, is when he said that he encourages his readers to buy from the stores, the chains, rather than directly from him. We all went, what? And it's
literally did a P.F. Hutton.
Yeah. Well, what's so funny, Brad, is that I remember after that happened, I was like at dinner, I'm like, oh my God, guys, maybe we should rethink this. I mean, Phil is such a charmer, and he speaks so eloquently that we're like, wow, how many are you selling? And I remember saying to Brad, we really need to think about this and start, you know, maybe he's onto something. And then by the time I got home and it had worn off, and I'm like, he's out of his mind. I'm not doing that. I'm doing the math on it. I ain't gonna sell.
I'm
never gonna sell as many
things.
Yes. That's crazy talk.
Well, you really are supporting a whole lot more people when you're selling it through retail. You've got it. The distributor's got to take a cut. The retail store's got to take a cut, and then you're selling your product for what? 65% off the cover price.
Right.
I think that Brad.
Well, you know what? But to Phil's credit, though, and he's clearly made it work for him, and it's one of our.
Yeah.
You know, for everyone that says we're too orthodox about the recommendations we suggest, the point is there are many paths to the same mountain, and Phil has struck out a very different path than we would with retail, and he's making it work for him. So all the better for him, I think.
Yeah, because Dave, when we got back, I think it was a day or two afterwards, Brad and I were on the phone. We were putting pencil and paper to the theory, and we both came to the conclusion that this is something that you start and build up to, and that we would lose a ton of money trying to build that kind of.
You're saying you start out with that.
Yeah,
well, you don't try to climb back.
Yeah, right.
No, well, no.
What I said to Scott was, I think this works really well if you're Phil Folio. In other words,
yeah, no, probably true. Probably
Phil
true.
Phil has a long history with these retailers. You know, Phil goes back to, you know, he did a little something before webcomics, and he's got a long print history, and people know his name and remember what he's done, and all of that stuff is positive stuff. They remember him in a good way. He's had a long history of putting out quality comics.
And Brad, not just a long history with retailers, but a long history with customers who only shop at retailers.
Yeah, that's very true. And also gaming stores. There's a whole other market of stores that just sell games that don't sell books but will sell Phil stuff, because he has a history of cartooning in the tabletop gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, as we've already established at the beginning of this podcast, retailers and other comics professionals will literally approach me at cons and pick fights with me. That is how much disdain I have garnered.
You're kind of like anti-Phil Folio.
Yes, in the comics proper arena.
You just
arena.
Get spit on. Hey, I'm Scott Kurtz. Duh.
You know what, though? To jump topics just for a minute, though, Phil, not only a consummate gentleman and host up on the panel, but I think it was on Saturday or Sunday, was it? I don't remember what day it was.
It was Saturday.
Saturday, Phil and his wife and the entire Girl Genius team sent around Subway sandwiches to everybody that was in web.
Oh, my God.
In the entire con, and I had been having such a busy day that I couldn't get away for lunch, and it was a godsend. So, Phil, thank you for that. You are a gentleman and a scholar.
That was literally, I think, the most classy thing I've ever seen done at Comic-Con since I've been going.
It literally was. Literally.
Literally. Did I say it?
Yeah, literally. You literally did.
I literally died.
Brad, you literally said it.
I literally crapped my pants when he sent those sandwiches over.
Well, what'd you do with the crap in your pants?
Oh, no, I didn't really crap my pants. I literally crapped them. I didn't actually, like, poop in my pants, Chris. I literally did. Come on.
Come on, man. Be ridiculous.
I literally did eat that sandwich, though, that he brought.
I literally enjoyed it. But anyway, so one other thing, too, about Phil, before we go on to other topics about the con that I want to mention, in contrast to my loving criticism of Scott's booth setup, Phil Folio, the next time you see Grill Genius at a convention, look at his setup, because Phil's is awesome. The whole thing packs into one tube, and I swear to God, every convention where I'm setting up next to him, he's done in about 3 minutes, and I'm setting up for another hour and a half next to him.
Oh, yes, we are looking into that. There's a good chance I will have one of those pop-ups for...
You just took Phil's.
When yeah. you, when,
look for me at the Grill Genius booth at Baltimore Comic Con.
No, but when you get a chance at a convention, up to Phil, buy a Girl Genius book, and then check out his booth setup, because if you're thinking about a setup, that one is one that I would recommend. That one is nice.
You want to hear the best part of that booth, David?
What's that?
You can check it as luggage.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't even have to ship it. It can be one of your check-on bags.
Did you just call me David, by the way? Do you always call me David?
I always call you David. Does that bother you?
No, I think only my mom calls me David.
I'm sorry. David!
I feel like I have to go clean my room now, though. That's nice.
I tend to do that, and I get in trouble sometimes because I have a friend named Rob who hates being called Robert, because that's not his name. It's it says Rob on his birth certificate, but I will call him Robert. I'll extend the name out. I don't know why I do that.
I guess I call Brad Bradley sometimes, don't I, for no good reason.
That's more of a nickname-ish thing, though. I don't know why I call you David. I'm sorry.
No, don't. That was an apology thing.
Okay. Well, listen, I've had that happen, man. I have. Robert Kirkman hates being called Rob because his name is Robert. And my friend Rob Schiebel hates being called Robert Schiebel because that ain't his name. His name's Rob. and so everybody deserves. Everyone's getting punches to the face.
This guy's being difficult. I don't understand.
I know.
Could you just be happy with your name?
It's easy for me.
Lesson.
I like it.
So what else happened?
That was Tuesday night. That was before
that was
Connie even started.
That was me at home dreaming.
In general, though, I think it's worth of an interesting note for all of us is that we all had new material out for the show. And counterbalancing that, we all knew going into it, all right, it's a recessionary time. People might not be coming because of either gas, or if they come because of gas, they might not be spending as much. But I think we all did better than the year prior, right, as far as sales?
Very much so.
I had very little new material. I had one new book.
And I thought you had a new book.
I had a new book, but I got shorted accidentally by Diamond. So I sold out of that on Thursday.
Wow.
So for most of the show, and then I found out after the con that if I had told Image, they would have called Diamond and yelled at him, and Diamond would have overnighted books to me. So, yeah.
No.
So the one time I decide, you know what, I'm not going to be a jerk. I'll just take it in stride, and I'll be the cool guy and not flip out. Flipping out was what everyone told me I should have done. So I can't win.
So get ready for Jerk Scott from here on out.
I know. Here comes Jerk Missile number one. Here he goes.
So get ready, because it's coming.
Nobody better.
I love the feed.
Next convention. Your face, my fist. We'll make a love connection. considering that I had hardly any new product at all, we did better than last year, I think.
Yeah. No, that was my experience too. It was actually really the thing is that I was noticing is that standing there, I only remembered the lulls in sales. So it took me to the end of the day when I'm actually counting how many books I sold where I was like, "Oh, I did good today." Whereas I'll sell 5 books in the span of 15 minutes, and then the next 20 minutes is a lull, and I think, oh God, this is what today is.
We should talk about that, because I personally think that attendance was really stunted from previous years.
That was the fire marshal stuff, though, right?
I mean, Saturday was. Thursday was our biggest day, and Saturday was almost dead, comparatively.
Yeah, which is so weird.
You got to remember, they had those two panels, one on Lost and one on the Heroes, and that took a lot of people off the convention floor.
Yeah,
I remember when the Manipma panel on the...
Oh, perfectly done.
I said to myself, Manipma, there goes the crowd.
I think everybody was trying to figure out the way to get on that gravy train.
I just figured that was low hanging fruit.
What was the ridiculous term that Brad used on that panel? Something about picking berries.
Brad.
It's up to Brad to do it.
The best part of that, so I razzed Brad on the panel for a good 5 minutes there, and then later on in the day, Brad is like, oh, wait a minute, I had said it wrong on the panel.
Oh, I said somebody had something on the ball, something on the stick. I said he's got a lot on the stick.
No.
There was a different phrase
was on the ball. But on the panel, I said that I was giving you the berries.
Oh, giving you the berries. That's what it was.
Yes! Giving you the berries. What is that?
You guys have never, honest to God, you guys have never heard that.
That means nothing.
I've never given anybody the berries before.
That means nothing.
Brad, you might as well have been describing, like, ox castration to me, because I had no idea what you were talking about.
That's taking the berries, Dave.
Are you saying berries?
Thank you for the delayed laugh. Good. There you go.
Yes, B-E-R-R-I-E-S. Like, you know, okay, you know that if you go like this, it's like giving somebody a raspberry.
Oh, raspberry.
I think that's maybe kind of the root there.
No.
You're giving somebody the berries.
We'll have to ask.
Yes, please write in.
Brad, have you heard that phrase from anyone that wasn't a drunk relative?
No. Hey, listen. No, there's an easy way to solve this. If you are a listener to Webcomics Weekly and are 75 and work in a library in Ohio, please write in and let us know what that means, because you last heard that phrase in 1905 when Brad was walking out of the Cinescope.
Speaking of contests that we never follow up on, I would like to, if it's okay, officially declare the winner of the Wicker contest the person that made the Brad Geiger Wicker Man poster.
In the forum, yeah.
Has anybody seen that?
Yeah,
yes, that is awesome.
Her screen name is Lizard Beth, and she came up to Wizard World Philadelphia and introduced herself. She's a really great cartoonist.
Well, she's getting free PvP art because the fact that he has... What I want to know about Lizard Beth is where the picture of your face come from, because it looked like you posed for that.
I know.
I think it's off my website. I think it's the photo I used for my About Me page on my website.
And the best part is you're carrying a Sky Maul.
You know, this has never happened to me before. I was gifted with more stuff at this convention than ever before. Don't blank out his name. Wes Mulbash.
Wes Mulbash.
I thought I heard a monologue. What? The internal monologue is fantastic. Keep it together, Brad. Keep it together. Don't blank out his name.
Oh, boop, feet, don't fail me now.
Oh, come on. Come on, Brad Geiger. Keep it together. You're
this
on the
was
air.
The convention that I received more gifts. I got a gift from, what was his name? What was his name? Come on, Brad. Don't let me down. Come on, brain. Pick it out.
Bup-a-dup-a-dup. Come on. Bup-a-dup-a-dup.
God, that was what a Bill Bixby moment. It was like, not now. Not the change now.
Not here.
Not here.
Not like this.
Bring!
Wes Mulbash came up with his copy of Sky Mall magazine from his flight in, which was really nice. And somebody else came in with a copy of a newspaper with the headline that read "Champing at the Bit."
I wasn't there for that podcast, but I would have backed up whoever said that. That's what my dad always said.
Thank you, champing at the bit.
It was not chomping; it was champing.
Yeah, we
a little antiquated.
We were shocked to hear that.
Oh, man, guys, I'm just realizing I got a scoot, which is awkward in the middle of a podcast.
No, it's fine. We're done.
No. Well, can I make one plug? And I never make plugs. I just want to make one plug.
Sure.
Okay. All right. If you live in L.A. or Santa Barbara or San Diego or Long Beach or something, we are having the Sheldon Book Party Sunday, August 10th, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Crescent in Beverly Hills. If you want to come out, should be awesome. They tend to be pretty fun.
When is this?
You have special drinks for that, don't you, Dave?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Brad. Our initial drink sponsor.
I like it.
Our initial drink sponsor, I was very excited about, dropped out for reasons according to their budget, not ours. We're looking for a second one, but in the meantime, there will be free high fives, which is nice.
I'm sorry, I totally. Here I was. I thought I was doing you a favor. Like, hey, how about this? No.
In my mind, I'm like, keep it together, Dave Kellett. Keep it together.
Make it sound like it's going to be fun.
What was the name? Oh God, Hamana. No, but it's 7 to 10 p.m. Sunday, August 10th at the Crescent in Beverly Hills.
I've been to a couple of your book parties. They're a hoot, if I may say.
They are pretty good.
They are a hoot.
Yeah, Dave's got a lot on the ball.
thanks for giving me the berries there, Brad. I appreciate that.
Every time you mention a book party, I remember the podcast where we first discussed having a book party and what steps to take. And I said, step one, be married to someone that's very beautiful that works in Hollywood. And Chris goes, step two, enjoy your book party.
Oh, I'm sure Dave works hard too, though.
There is I am actually, yes, I'm kind of overworked at the moment, post-con. But anyway, I do have to scoot, but if you guys can make it out, and it's kind of a bummer that Chris is not still in L.A. to get to it, because it'll be
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, they are awesome, though.
They do tend to be fun, and there tends to be fun conversations afterward. But 7 to 10 p.m., The Crescent, Beverly Hills, on August 10th, and I will sign off for the night, and I will talk to you guys later. With the
see you later, Dave.
All righty, gents.
Good man, Dave.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you.
All right, bye.
How much more con are we at? Like, we're sleeping the first night, right? This all happened during our
I don't
our
know
rest
something
hour.
Like that. I'm looking at pictures of the con on Brad's website right now. There's a picture of you guys walking with hand carts full of boxes, and if you look at this picture, it looks like Dave is an old man hunched over, going, "Get off the grass," to Chris.
Wait, let me see. I don't know if I've seen that one or I remember that one.
Brad and Dave are pulling a handcart stacked with boxes on the sidewalk. You're in the grass, and it looks like Dave is bent over yelling at you.
Hey,
get off the grass!
Well,
come on.
There's a story behind that. Chris had shipped a bunch of books to my hotel room. So we had over a dozen boxes at the hotel when I was checking in. And I kind of got these comments from the bell captain, like, "Oh, yeah, Brad Geiger, we know all about you. You've got a dozen boxes we've had to be moving around for the last month back there." So I tipped the guy really well. And after that, he became my best friend for the rest of the week. But I tip him. Chris brings his car around. And what kind of car did you have? Was it a Civic?
It's a Camry, yeah.
A Camry?
Kind of not the best for hauling that stuff, but it fit everything.
And all of a sudden, we just start throwing. I have a big blue suitcase that I take to conventions, a hard shell that I bring a bunch of my supplies in. That's got to go in. We've got a dozen boxes. We've got everything packed in. People are sitting in the car with boxes on their laps, and we drive to the convention. We can't park out front of the convention. Now we've got to park down at the parking garage, which is about, what would you say, Chris, about a half mile away? I mean, it's a good
job. It was
a
walk. You don't want to carry that. You don't have to lug that far.
We call up Dave and say, "Bring your hand truck. We'll make it." Anyway, we'll probably have to make two trips. A few minutes later, around the corner comes Dave with a hand cart and Bill Barnes from the comic strip Unshell, and he's got a hand truck.
Oh, it's like, who can we borrow hand trucks from?
Oh my! I've never been so happy to see somebody in all my life.
I've never been happy to see Bill Barnes, and so that was a wonderful experience.
Brad, how did you feel literally?
Did I do it again?
Yes.
Oh man, I gotta stop that. I it's literally becoming a real problem. I was so happy to see Bill, and so we loaded everything up and got everything in one trip. Which was pretty amazing.
It was awesome. Bill is a prince.
I feel so bad for Bill because he did not get invited to the best night ever.
And I'm trying to figure out how that happened because it was all word of mouth, and I feel kind of bad about that.
Yeah, I do too. And the funny thing is that I know at one point Magnolia was asking me if she should call Spike and her boyfriend, or is it her husband?
I think it's her husband.
Her husband. And I said to Magnolia, "I don't know. Like, this isn't my party, and I don't know if we're allowed to invite people." And
right.
So I think the obvious answer was, of course, yes, invite them. And so I feel bad about Spike and her husband as well.
Yeah.
But
now we know. I mean,
now we know, so we can make it up to them. Never, because that night will never in a million years be topped ever in the history of nights.
But Scott, what if
I am going
Comic-Con
to
it was?
No, Chris.
What if
what
it happened?
What could possibly happen? Is the Earth going to open up, and Charles Schulz is going to crawl out of the earth and say, "Hey, everybody, free money on me. I'm Charles Schulz."
And now here, let me sing Ain't Misbehavin'.
Ain't Misbehavin'.
Trains Misbehavin'.
I don't see how you can top that ever.
Trains Misbehavin'.
Yeah. That's an inside joke.
Oh, my God. That was a little inside joke for me and Chris. Trains misbehaving. Was that mine?
Yeah,
that was awesome. Trains misbehaving.
That was an amazing night. Jesus, God, come on. No, it may not be toppable, but I always had fun at that thing. I went last year.
I don't know how we could top it. How do you top two starship? I guess Riker's technically not a captain.
Well, he became the captain of the Titan, right?
I guess, nerd. Hey, remind me, because I've replayed it so many times in my head, I don't know what's real and what's a dream. But
when I was kissing Avery Brooks, remind me if this happened or not.
Did he not put on his hand directly on your chest and say, "Can you sing?"
Oh my God, he did. He did. He said, "Can you sing?" And I was like, "I don't know."
You know what the best part about that night is? Is that that night we lived fan fiction. We lived Star Trek fan fiction.
Yeah.
We were the Mary Sue characters of our own fan fiction. It's like, and then Avery Brooks and then Sisko and Riker came down and said, "Scott, Chris, we need you on the holodeck. Only you can help
us.
Only
you can sing."
Yeah, only if we finish the program by completing this night of singing can we unlock the holodeck.
Stop the Jem'Hadar.
Oh, man.
No, that's very true. That was a ridiculous night.
You know how aloof at times Jerry Holkins can seem. Jerry has experienced so many amazing things since starting Penny Arcade. And this is a guy who has...
Nothing phases him.
Right, exactly.
He's seen it all.
And if it does phase him, I'm sure he keeps the phasing part pretty close to the vest, right? Whereas me, I'm not only do I tell you how phased I am, but I tell you about the poop I took 2 days ago, and you didn't even ask. But Jerry plays... Even Jerry called me after the con and was like, "Man, what a night." So you know it was a big night.
It was a big night.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read his write-up?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, he wrote about it on his on Penny Arcade for, I don't know, it was probably Wednesdays. But it was a glowing write-up.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
In the way that only he can write it.
Yeah.
I was shaken.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I was shaken, too. Disappointed, though, to come back and find so many people had broken down and spoken about the evening, though.
Well, that actually is a really good, I mean, not that this will lead into a general conversation, but it's kind of a pet peeve of mine. And I know that you were talking about how we were like, this night is for all of us. Like, we got to just keep this under our hats. And then immediately people are posting video from it. Like, all right, well, if you're going to make it into a big thing, let's at least try and keep some dignity, because these guys really shared something awesome with us.
Yeah.
But
they didn't share with us, "Hey, look at Drunk Riker and Drunk Sisko."
Right. And it's like, come on, guys. These guys are having fun like anybody else here. You were drunk. But anyway, one of my pet peeves about web cartoonists, and I mean, it's easy to go in the other direction, but I've been to, I don't know, maybe three of those gatherings,
mm-hmm.
and they're all cartoonists of every echelon present at that.
Right.
And a lot of times you'll see the guys who think that they are no good or are on the lower end or haven't broken in yet and all that stuff. And all they talk about is how amazing it is to be talking to these other cartoonists and how they're not worthy of being there. And I think that that is such a mood killer. And just as a piece of general advice, if you go into a setting like that and you say, "Guys, I do not deserve to be here," everybody will believe you. And they will say, yes. Internally, they'll go, "I guess you don't deserve to be here." And they'll take you less seriously.
So should I not have been kicking those guys out?
You know, in that case, yes, kick them out.
Because I was like, "You're right, you don't deserve to be here." And then I was throwing them on their asses.
But that's the thing. If they were to walk in there and be like, "I'm good, I'm a good cartoonist and I'm going to talk to you about stuff that cartoonists are interested in, then there wouldn't have been any problem. It would have been awesome. So have some confidence, for God's sakes.
That is a good point. That's a very good point.
And then Chris goes, that young cartoonist was me.
That first night it was me. And nobody helped me and I got kicked out. But it's because I couldn't pay.
And I threw you out.
Yes, and Scott was the one who taught me the lesson.
Oh, man.
But that was Saturday night. And you know what? What's funny is we were talking about how it's got to build up to somebody getting pregnant and somebody getting murdered. That is a pretty good topper to the con.
Well, yeah. And don't forget the incredible dinner we had Friday night.
Oh, my God. That was incredible.
Thank God we did well enough to go spend the money on that. Whenever we do really, really well at the con, we will go to this place down at the bottom of the Marriott called Molly's and have food that is way, way above our pay grade.
Food we won't eat again for another year.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't that cheese? There was like a cheddar cheese that was 10 years old. And sitting there, you know, I'm sitting there kind of feeling kind of silly because I really don't have a palate. I just have taste buds.
You're just putting ketchup on it all.
But it tasted very, very good. But it's like, geez, to a certain extent, it was kind of like I am not developed enough to really appreciate this great food, you know?
No, I mean, there's a limit. Like, yeah, I would have been happy with a hamburger, but where I'm going, oh God, I can't believe what these chefs have made.
Yeah.
For me, it's like one of these things where you're tasting this food and you just look at everyone and you're like, oh no, this is what good food tastes like, and this is not what I've been eating all year.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had the filet and it was out of this world. Now that's something I can appreciate. Steak is something I can kind of define, and that was incredible.
Yeah.
What was the thing that you ordered, Chris, that we all enjoyed at the beginning? It was some kind of carpaccio?
Yeah, it was a Kobe beef carpaccio.
Oh, God, that was good.
It was, I just don't understand how you can make those flavors. So it was amazing. Awesome, awesome convention.
I'm hungry.
You know what? Arby's is not going to do the trick.
Yeah.
You are going to roll up in there with the beef and cheddar.
All right, guys. I got to get me to San Diego. I'm going to see you at Molly's tomorrow night.
Good news is that Baltimore is just a few weeks away now.
Yeah, but there's no good food in Baltimore.
Wait a minute. Is Baltimore really a few weeks away?
Well, no. More than a few.
It's like six or maybe 5 weeks away, okay. But that's not that far.
No, because I'm going to PAX, and I know that's pretty close. Gosh, when is PAX?
Isn't it mid-August? Silence. Nobody knows.
No, it's the end of...
Come on, audience, answer. Oh, wait.
Come on, chat room. Let's see. PAX is August 29th to the 31st. Right. And the Baltimore Con, Baltimore, is September 27th through the 28th.
Ooh, that's more than a few weeks.
So there you go. It's the end of, we've got more than a month away. Okay, wow. Scaring me.
You got time to plan it out.
You're killing me.
So, yeah, if you didn't make it out to this year's San Diego.
Hey, dude, did any of us get nominated for a Harvey Award this year? Let's check. Best writer? Nope. Best artist? Nope. Best cartoonist? Well, surely we're in here. Nope.
No.
Best graphic album original? Nope. Uh-uh. Best graphic album previously published? That's certainly... Okay. Nope. Nope.
No.
Best domestic reprint? No. Best American edition of form material?
No.
Nope.
Hey.
Oh, wait, guys. Special award for humor. Special award for humor.
No.
No. But someone we met in San Diego, Nicholas Gurewicz, is.
Harry Bible Fellowship.
So we're happy about that. Oh, best online comic. Surely we're in here.
Here we go.
No.
Who's up in there?
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
No, never heard of it.
Easy Street.
Nope.
Penny Arcade. No.
Oh, all right.
Never heard of it. We should see if they want us to accept on their behalf. That would be hilarious. So we can go up there and go, screw these guys. I don't know what's so great about Penny Arcade. And it's like, blah, blah, video games. Perry Bible.
When was the last time they did that?
Perry Bible Fellowship, also up for Best Online Comic. The Surreal Adventures of Edgar Allan Poe.
Wow. All right.
That's a... So they give the URL for all of these Best Online Comics, like Diary of a Wimpy Kid is wimpykid.com. Easy Street is... You know, EasyStreetComics.com, PennyArcade.com. And it's like, The Surreal Adventures of Edgar Allan Poe by Dwight L. McPherson. www.drunkduck.com/the_surreal_adventures_of_Edgar_Allan_Poe.
Holy moly.
Tilda.
Yikes. Tilda.net.
Dot SB question mark. Function equals date.
Ooh, best syndicated stripper panel. That's cool. They have that. Oh, the K Chronicles. I hope Keith wins that. Keith's a good guy.
Yeah. Keith was there at the night.
Yeah, he was.
He was.
We're talking about possibly having him on the podcast sometime.
Are we?
We spitballed it. I think he'd be a great guest sometime.
I do too. I know Dave Reddick wants to come in and talk about licensing and his experience with Paws Incorporated.
That'd be interesting.
It's coming up, podcast!
Seems like a lot of good stuff's going on.
But not tonight. Not tonight. Not tonight.
No.
Tonight's pretty crappy.
Tonight it's just running the clock out.
Listen, we are barely here, and it's already been a week. God, do you guys know that if a week ago, right now... the Comic Con was ending.
Yep.
I know.
Yeah, that's a sad thought.
And how many times have I watched your little what is that camera called, Scott? Those videos that you took.
Flip Mino.
That's a great camera.
Best $179 I ever spent.
Yeah, it's the only thing that helps me remember that the con was real.
Oh, did you guys see me on Conan O'Brien?
Oh, that was great.
That was crazy.
That was crazy. Although, can I be honest? Can I be real with you, son? Can I be real?
Yeah.
Triumph, used to love them. I'm getting kind of, it's getting kind of old.
Oh. Yeah.
It seemed like, hey, you're fat, you're a nerd, and you're fat, and you're a nerd. And
I did like the way that one. You know what the problem is? It's like Borat. Once people get wise to it, it's not funny anymore.
Right, it's like, hey, do me next.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, exactly. everyone wanted their opportunity. The only time it was funny was that one Wolverine guy who was super pissed that he was being insulted.
Yeah.
But everyone else was really excited to get roasted, and so it loses a bit.
But a feather in your cap nonetheless.
It's so funny because I got a call from my dad, and he's like, you look great, you look great. I can't believe it was awesome. And I'm like, did you see the plush? Did you see how big the plush looked on TV? I was just excited the plush made it to... Wish I had been wearing a logo t-shirt that had the URL on it, but...
Oh, but you know what? Those don't sell. So
well, no, but it's like... My dad's like, maybe a lot of people want to buy the plush now. And I'm like, yeah, they'll be like, oh, that looks awesome. Anyway, I don't know where to get it. But yeah, that was... Like I said... I'm sure someone did die somewhere at that con.
it was too awesome for no one to have died.
It had to. So it had to happen. God, and there's so many things we just can't talk about that happened that are awesome.
No, it sucks. It sucks.
Oh, God.
But pretty amazing.
Maybe one day we'll... When we're all old and stuff, and nobody cares anymore, we'll have
when nothing matters, we can discuss it.
We'll have
the question
discussion.
Is, will we care?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Nothing will ever rob me of how sweet it was that I snubbed that guy that night.
Oh no.
right, Brad.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Especially the second time I snubbed him and didn't even realize I did it, and we're walking away, and Brad turns to me and goes, beautifully played, beautifully played. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
I never knew that. I never knew that you didn't do that second one on purpose. I was still
no, because I was so shocked at the person that I saw that I knew was with the guy that I snubbed.
Oh my goodness!
I didn't realize I was snubbing the other guy. There, we said enough. Is that enough to piece it together?
Yeah, that's plenty.
Now you just have to get every witness from that, you know, even if they don't know the names or anything.
There's going
to
be this big thing in the forums. All right, listen, I was there the night I saw Scott. We saw who did he stop? I saw who he talked to. Who did he not talk to?
I saw him walking away from five different people that night.
And then we get this big report, and it's like the Zapruder film. It's been examined so
Scott
much.
Scott walked back. And to the left.
Well, I think we should probably wrap this thing up. I'm looking at about an hour 13 here.
Oh, yeah.
But it felt good, guys.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Just 12 more months till the next one.
Yeah. God, don't remind me. All of a sudden, it sounded like so much work.
I know exactly what I'm going to do to make next year the best one ever. Not show up because it's impossible to top this year. Okay.
Web Comics Weekly.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, podcast over.
And yeah, anyway, podcast over and out. Jeez. And we'll stop recording in 3, 2, 1.